Danielle King. Welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Take us with you because we want to go with you ahead on this Tuesday, June 23rd. We are all paying tribute to an all-time music legend. That, of course, would be Clive Davis. We knew him very well. We'll talk about the artist he discovered and the kind of man he was behind the scenes. One of the nicest human beings you would ever meet. It's still hard to believe. Plus, Wyndham Clark is here today, too, fresh off of his big win at golf's U.S. Open. Some have called him the most hated man in golf, which many people think that's unfair. And by many, I mean me, think that's unfair. We'll talk about that and much more to him today. We'll also ask an expert about a growing trend in kids' health care. We're talking about the GLP-1 weight loss medication, this time for younger children. So here's the question. What is that all about? Is this a good thing? We'll take a look at the risk and the benefits. And Emmy winner Jim Parsons is here today from the hit Broadway musical Titanic. It's a very funny take on the movie Titanic, and he is amazing. He says it's a dream role for him, and he plays a woman. Let's discuss all that and more just ahead.
We begin this hour, though, with another day of extreme weather. Flash floods blocked roads in Lexington, Kentucky, and powerful winds damaged homes in Northern Virginia. In Philadelphia, a World Cup match was delayed by an intense summer storm, while in Utah, a massive wildfire has exploded to at least 10,000 acres. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano here tracking it all again for us. Hey, Rob, what are you seeing on those maps?
A lot of storms, a lot of action, Maddie. We've got storms that reported over 200 severe wind reports alone, and some of those were up in over 110 miles an hour. In parts of Colorado, large hail as well. But all these wind reports across the Mid-Atlantic in through the Northeast, including Philadelphia and parts of New England as well, trees down and some power outages with this cluster of storms. It's still kind of hanging around the Northeast, southeastern Massachusetts under some flash flood warnings right now. Later on today, the Mid-Atlantic will get it again, Norfolk up through Virginia Beach, Salisbury as well. Damaging winds, maybe a tornado here as it kind of filters its way out and finally getting into some drier weather, but resetting the stage for severe weather across the high plains. This time, I think I-25 gets into it. So Denver, Colorado Springs, big time hail makers, maybe some tornadoes as well. West of the Continental Divide, fire weather warnings are up for Colorado and Utah for all these fires that are burning, low levels of humidity, and the heat is building as well. Advisories up and down the coastline with temperatures well above average, with the exception of Chicago. 75 degrees, beautiful, cool, comfortable day there. So enjoy. Gail, over to you.
All right. Rob, thank you very much. We turn now to a stunning new report on the deadly Surfside condo collapse in Florida that claimed 98 lives. Federal investigators found the building started failing weeks before the 12-story condo came down. Hard to believe it's been 5 years ago this week. Christiane Benavidez has the details.
In 2021, this building that once stood for nearly 40 years crumbled in a matter of seconds.
The frantic search for survivors of the building collapse in Surfside, Florida.
Now federal investigators are revealing the likely cause of the Champlain Tower South collapse. According to a new federal report, the structure failures began 3 weeks before the building fell, when two connections between garage columns and the pool deck gave way. Investigators say those initial failures caused cracks to spread and loads to redistribute in the pool deck. They say that's what led to the catastrophic event on June 24th, killing 98 people.
It's extremely disappointing to see this report.
Martin Langesfeld lost his sister and brother-in-law in that collapse.
5 years later, we're supposed to be happy with this paper that says designs were bad and there was corrosion.
Langesfeld says the report offers few definitive answers. He is calling for the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office to open a criminal investigation.
What do you want people to know?
A building collapsed in Miami, Florida, in the middle of the night. In 12 seconds, it killed 98 people, and no one has been held accountable.
Tomorrow marks 5 years since the Surfside tragedy.
How do you hope that they'll be remembered?
Nikki was taken at 26 years old and her husband at 28 years old. She was an attorney and she fought for justice and to make things right. And we promise to do that on her behalf now.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Christian Benavides.
We are continuing to honor legendary music mogul Clive Davis, who died Monday in his Manhattan apartment. He was 94 years old. Davis was a celebrated record executive credited with launching the careers of superstars like Whitney Houston, Bruce Springsteen, Janis Joplin, basically anyone you've listened to in the last 50 years.
Yes.
Clive Davis was responsible for that, including Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Kenny Loggins. Davis signed him to Columbia Records in 1970. Loggins rose to fame as one half of the duo Loggins and Messina before launching his solo career. Here's what he had to say about Clive Davis.
And he was the first person that I ever heard refer to me as an artist. You know, we were musicians or players, but he saw us as artists and treated us with respect. Clive set the example for those who would run the record business to see artists as careers and not as one video or one, you know, how many followers you have at this moment, but how much faith he had in the music and in the artists who made the music.
Yeah, I thought Diane Warren said it best at the Grammy party. She said, Clive Davis is the best friend a song could ever have. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nice?
Beautifully put.
His family said this in Instagram. They wrote, "We celebrate not only a towering figure whose influence changed music forever, but the man who led our family with grace, generosity, and my favorite word, kindness." There it is. He has four children. He has a partner, Greg, thinking about all of you, several grandkids and great grandkids.
I go back to what he told you where you asked him, how do you pick a hit? And he said, I don't know, but I know. Right.
Yes.
There's some kind of alchemy that goes on in his brain that he's able to understand what we, the people who love music, want to hear.
Yes. Certain people have this gift. Yeah. It's ineffable. You can't explain it. They just have it in style and fashion, obviously in music.
Style and fashion, and also to be such a really kind, really beautiful human being. That's what I'll remember.
And I'm glad you got to know him so well.
Personally. Me too.
Is this another one? Lionel Messi, there's the block. And Messi again, Martin!
That is why he is a legend. But early in his career, they used to call Argentina's Lionel Messi the flea. Now everyone can call him the GOAT. Yesterday, he scored his 17th and 18th World Cup career goals. That's the most of all time by anyone. A big name scoring big goals, and the crowds are loving it. Kelly O'Grady traveled to Boston to talk to fans who traveled much, much farther.
Just 2 days before his 39th birthday, Lionel Messi proved once again, age is just a number. The GOAT struck twice to add to his record World Cup tally and sent Argentina to the knockout rounds. Tens of thousands of traveling Argentine fans made Dallas-Fort Worth sound more like Buenos Aires Monday. And they're far from the only fan base to have made their mark.
We heard that the Scottish drank Boston out of beer. Were you guys a part of that?
Yes. I need a new liver, so if anyone's got one, give me a shout.
But perhaps the most unexpected love affair of the tournament may be international fans falling for America.
Everyone's been so friendly. And like, they've just welcomed us with open arms.
That enthusiasm is expected to bring in $1 billion for Boston and $17 billion across the U.S. Billy Fairweather, owner of Boston's The Greatest Bar, says close to 2,000 people are visiting each day.
But this World Cup is like nothing we've ever seen before.
And so how has it been for business then?
Well, we've been open 22 years and we just had our biggest week ever.
And for a small business that relies on passionate fans, it couldn't come at a better time.
Look, if it wasn't for the World Cup right now, there'd be a number of days during the week we wouldn't even be open. So this is a complete game changer for us and for other businesses like us in the city of Boston.
As a Boston native, I can assure you this city is no stranger to a good time. I'm here at the Greatest Bar, where it's the calm before the storm. But with England in town for this afternoon's match against Ghana, those fans tell me they are prepared to outdo Scotland at the bar. And y'all, I'm prepared to help them get a head start.
Right, Kelly O'Grady. Doesn't surprise me at all.
She's prepared to help.
Let's hear sipping.
Kelly, you have a kind and generous heart.
That's right.
That's what you have.
Exactly. You're the best.
Exactly. We'll go with that, Gail.
We love you, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Time for a look at some of the stories that caught our eye. Joining us once again is Chanel Call. Chanel, good morning.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to see you. We begin this morning with an update in a case that captivated the nation for decades, the disappearance of six-year-old Eitan Peetz. In a 6-3 vote on Monday, the Supreme Court reinstated a murder conviction against the man at the center of this case. Pedro Hernandez had been serving a sentence of 25 years to life after his 2017 conviction. But last year, an appeals court overturned that conviction, saying he was entitled to a new trial. Now, you may remember, six-year-old Peetz was disappeared back in 1979 while walking to a New York City school bus stop alone. He was never found. Now, what police are calling a nationwide first, officers in California, get this, used a drone equipped with a magnet to disarm a suspect. Take a look at this. Officials say they located the parolee hiding in a garage armed with a knife. They believed he may have been playing dead. You can actually see the drone here using the magnet to grab the weapon and then remove it. Police were then able to move in and safely take the suspect into custody. This is so cool to see. The ingenuity is so incredible. It reminds me of one of those crane games, you know, with the arcades.
Yeah.
You never win with those.
What if he was wearing a belt?
It would not have worked.
All the metal would come just rippling off the guy. It'd be embarrassing, but yeah.
Glad to know it worked. All right, if you ever wanted to know more about what's in your soda, you're in luck. So take a listen to this. Major soft drink companies like Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper, they are now set to add QR codes to their cans, linking drinkers to a site with additional nutritional facts. So the site's going to explain more than 140 common ingredients and how they're used. All participating companies are expected to complete the rollout by the end of 2027. All right, finally for us this morning, a truck accident in Texas caused a major pileup, but I'm not talking about traffic here. Check this out. These are bees, millions of them, in fact. Over the weekend, the truck carrying hives from a bee supply company overturned. Authorities told nearby residents to remain inside their homes. And at one point, there were so many bees gathered on a tree that the branch actually snapped off. Beekeepers sprung into action to save as many bees as they could, transporting them to a local farm. I don't know about you guys. I love a little bit of honey in my morning matcha, but I am terrified of bees. I would not have done well here.
Well, lucky for you, someone else does it for you. You don't have to ever touch the bee. Chanel, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. We've got new details this morning in the case of Nancy Guthrie. We all remember the story, the mother of Savannah Guthrie, co-anchor of the Today Show. Well, we know this too. Her mom is still missing. And for the first time, the disturbing contents of a second note that was sent to her family is being revealed. Jonathan Vigliotti is in Los Angeles with more on this story. Jonathan, good morning. We're still very worried about the case. I want to hear any update you have.
Yeah. And Gail, good morning to you. We've known for months about two notes sent to the Guthrie family in the days after Nancy Guthrie's abduction. The first one was a ransom note. It demanded money. The second note, we were asked by officials not to report on until now.
This is the only way we will have peace.
For the first time, CBS News is revealing the contents of a note Savannah Guthrie referenced in this video recorded February 7th, just days after her mother, Nancy Guthrie, was abducted.
We received your message and we understand.
Sources tell CBS News the note, believed to have come from the alleged abductor, claimed Nancy Guthrie was dead.
We beg you now to return our mother to us.
The message was the second of two notes sent to the family in the first week following Nancy Guthrie's abduction on February 1st. The first note was sent one day after a doorbell camera captured this masked man appearing to tamper with the camera in the moments before Guthrie vanished.
We will accept it.
It demanded millions of dollars in cryptocurrency in exchange for Nancy Guthrie's safe return. The Guthrie family responded, initially hopeful she was alive. Instead, that second message arrived. The family took both notes seriously because they were written in the same language and style and came from the same computer address, according to several sources. Investigators are treating both notes as credible and are still working to determine who sent them. In the weeks that followed, video messages from the Guthries that once spoke of Nancy's safe return shifted in tone.
We are offering a family reward of up to $1 million for any information that leads us to her recovery.
And it's been 142 days since Nancy Guthrie disappeared. Not a single tip has led to her or her abductor. As for the DNA recovered from her home, the crime scene, it is still being analyzed and tested. And Matt, so far, there have been no positive hits.
Jonathan, thank you. It's just a crushing story.
I know, Matt,
we are so upset about
crushing
this.
Is a word. I'm still stunned by this, the fact that they have video of somebody at the house, because you know somebody knows something. And it's heartbreaking to me that nobody has come forward to do the right thing here.
My heart just goes out to the Guthrie family.
Yes, absolutely.
142 days. We would want to know something.
Yes.
All right, we're going to move on.
All right, coming up, try to imagine winning a golf tournament when everyone in the room, in the crowd, rooting against you. That is exactly what happened to Wyndham Clark. For 4 days at the U.S. Open, he faced hecklers and haters. And guess what?
He won!
He won!
Yay!
Exactly. Wyndham is here, and we'll ask him all about it. We'll be right back. All right, that is the moment Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open Golf Championship Sunday. He held on to the lead during the entire competition, but not everyone was rooting for him. Check it out.
You can really hear that crowd. In the background, facts.
It's got to be so unsettling.
And especially when you're making bogeys on every hole. What effect
does it have? So, Wyndham Clark is here right now for a very special edition of What to Watch.
And
good
he's
morning.
Got the trophy.
He's got the
so
trophy
there.
Here with us. Congratulations, my
thank
brother.
You.
Well
thank
done.
You.
Well thank done. You. All right. So, here's a couple of headlines. I want to share with you a couple of headlines that came out after your win. Here's USA Today. Why does everyone hate Wyndham Clark? Here's Golf Week. Let's show Golf Week. No one wanted Wyndham Clark to win the U.S. Open, but he won it anyway. Even Scott Van Pelt called you the least popular winner I've ever seen. So here's the question for us and the world. Why does everyone hate you?
I don't think that's a question.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they don't hate me. But
we don't hate you. That's why you're here.
His dad seemed really happy.
Yeah.
Here we have Randall Clark.
Well, it was an unfortunate thing I did a year ago at the U.S. Open. And, you know, it's brought some scrutiny to me. But hopefully this – it's amazing what a year can do, right? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of my redemption tour. And hopefully I can win back the fans.
You know, so you're, sorry, Matt. You're referencing the moment that you missed the cut for the U.S. Open. You took your frustration out on the locker room. You've apologized for that. You even said –
repeatedly.
Yes, you repeatedly apologized.
Thank you, Gabe.
But were you surprised by the reaction?
Initially, I mean – probably not. I mean, I did something bad. I desecrated a very historical locker room, and that is unacceptable. But I'm surprised that the reaction I got at this U.S. Open. I knew I'd hear some chirps, but I didn't think people would cheer against me.
So how did you push it aside to go through? Because clearly, okay, they did that. And I just think it's a private moment in the locker room. Indeed. And it's unfortunate you've apologized. I personally have already moved on. But how do you get past that when you know the crowd is rooting against you?
I actually did some preparation for it. You know, the night before, talked with my sports psychologist. And she goes, we came up with a plan, a goal. Anytime I heard something negative, I would replace it with something positive.
Good.
Whether it's about myself,
Good.
About my golf, or even just anything, look around, smile at someone. And just say, all right, I'm going to win this with kindness and love. And
And you did that. But listen, your team, you got a very good team. Are you guys aware? He's a five-time PGA Tour champion.
Aware.
Thank you very much. Two-time U.S. Open champion. Won on one of the most difficult PGA courses. That's what you did. And then my favorite moment was your dad. Take us to that moment, because you didn't know your dad was going to be there. Your team, again, surprised you with your dad.
Yeah. So my dad's never seen me win in person.
He hasn't?
No. And my dad introduced me to the game. He played professional tennis, so he's an athlete.
Aww.
And I had no idea he was coming, and, you know, on Father's Day for him to be there and celebrate. He was really emotional. And I was too. I was so happy that
your dad actually took the red eye from Colorado to be there for you. I got to go back to it one more time, because most people would completely melt under that pressure when they are jeered and booed when they are in the home stretch trying to win. But it seemed like it actually fueled you. Like, it gave you the power to keep going.
I mean, I was fumbling. I had a six-shot lead, and, you know, then it ended up being a one-shot lead. But I will say it did. I mean, I wanted to kind of silence the crowd. And on 16,
and
I made a huge putt, and I felt like I was the only one that yelled.
Can I just say, your girl, because I'm tired of the booing and the cheering. I think this deserves to be celebrated.
That's right.
I really do. I think what you've done is, and you deserve to be celebrated. Your girlfriend Emily was there.
Yes.
That had to mean something too, in addition to your dad coming.
Yes.
So what are you most excited about for moving forward? Because you didn't make the cut last year. You made it this year and killed it. What are you most looking forward to now?
Honestly, it's just moving on. I think it's just it's a new chapter. It's a redemption tour. And I just want people to see who the real Wyndham Clark is. And that was just a mistake I made. Yes. It's not who I am, you know?
Yes.
We're big fans.
All right, Wyndham Clark, thank you.
In this morning's Health Watch, we're taking a look at the growing use of GLP-1 weight loss drugs by children. Childhood and teen obesity rates, as you know, have soared to record highs in this country. About 1 in 5 are living with obesity. The FDA has approved GLP-1s for weight loss among kids 12 and older, but now some doctors are even prescribing these drugs off-label to even younger kids, including some in elementary school. Dr. Rachel Pesapolik is an endocrinologist at NYU Langone Health and is here to sort it out for us. Rachel, it's good to see you because you hear the headline, these GLP-1 weight loss drugs for kids under 12, you go, that can't be right. What are the doctors doing? What are the parents doing? What do you say about this? And off-label.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. You know, we know that the obesity rates, particularly in kids, have doubled since COVID. We're talking about 1 in 5 kids that are at risk, not only for obesity, but obesity-related complications. So parents are struggling, kids are struggling, and doctors are struggling. We want to help these patients, but we currently do not have any FDA-approved medications for treatment of obesity less than 12 years old, which brings us to the situation when you have a kid with severe obesity and liver dysfunction, sleep apnea. These are kids you want to help. So some doctors, and I polled my colleagues, this is not a common circumstance, but it is something that doctors are offering in rare circumstances, are offering a GLP to help because we know those risks are so significant for kids.
So it's not if you're a little chubby kid or a little, as Vlad was telling the story about going and shopping in the Husky section for your clothes. It's not for those kids, but is it good for the kids this young?
So we know that we don't have long-term data. The best data we have is that a daily GLP-1 in kids 6 to 12 years old and for about a year of treatment. So we are really limited, right? Think about puberty, think about bone maturation. Yes. But the good news is data is coming. We expect more data within about a year from now.
This is obviously very intense intervention. And I think what we're talking about is people on the very extreme end of the scale here of obesity, for whom this kind of intervention could be a life and death matter. And if you can improve their lives, help them live longer and healthier, maybe it's worth the risk right now, but you're saying we basically don't know.
We're really tailoring it to the individual person and the family, but this is not a mainstream practice. This is for somebody that's really significantly affected by their weight. And remember, when you have a child that's obese, the likelihood they bring that into adulthood is very high. Kids that already are showing signs of type 2 diabetes, liver dysfunction at such a young age, it's really an important ability to be able to help them. But again, this is off-label, so we're really tailoring it to that individual discussion. Let's remind ourselves it's a daily injection that you're giving yourself.
For adults, it's once a week, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. So the studies in kids 12 and under are only on a daily injection, but that data about a weekly injection, that's coming for us. So we need a lot more data. And let's talk about nutritional deficiencies. So you wonder if you're having calorie restriction, what about iron deficiency, zinc deficiency? We really need to be careful who we're giving these kids GLP-1s too. And that's why we're using it so carefully in very rare circumstances.
We talk about the dangers of obesity, not just in children, but obviously in adults. As the father of a three-year-old, how do children become obese at such an early age? What are they, lifestyle choices? Are they genetic? Help me understand that.
That's a great question. And so the idea is that there are genetic forms of obesity, and people really need to see a pediatric endocrinologist to get screened for that. Because if you do have a genetic form of obesity, that's actually treatable, and we do have an FDA-approved medication for that. There are other causes of weight issues, including thyroid issues, rare causes of high cortisol levels, and a lot of this is also genetics. We know that genetics play an enormous role, but get your kids active, get them running around, reduce those screen times, high protein, high fiber, and making sure you're just getting so much activity.
And cost? cost?
And so very importantly, when you're using a medication off-label, it is not covered by insurance. And so that's a significant factor. People are paying out of pocket thousands of dollars. So we need to be careful also that we do need this data for the FDA approval so we can offer really the best medication to families and to kids.
All right, Dr. Rachel Pestel-Pollack, thank you so much. In this morning's Money Watch, we're focusing on the rising expenses for aging Americans. 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 every day, and more seniors are looking to cut costs while maintaining their independence. But that's becoming a lot harder. For example, the cost of home care and assisted living rose almost 50% from 2019 to 2024. National consumer correspondent Usher Qureshi shows us simple steps he is taking with his own parents so they can live safely and enjoy their golden years at home.
My mom and dad are in their 70s and 80s. They're still very active and healthy, going on daily walks, exercising, and gardening. They recently moved into a new home they hope to stay in for as long as possible.
So we often think of fall prevention being kind of the first line of defense to being able to age at home.
Amy Goyer is AARP's family and caregiving expert and says tripping hazards are a top concern. Each year, about 1 million older adults go to emergency rooms for fall-related injuries.
A lot of people wait until they've had a fall, a hospitalization, a major health change, before they start making changes in their homes. And it's much wiser to do it beforehand, to not wait until there's a crisis, because maybe those things could be prevented.
There are some cheap and easy ways to make houses safer for your elderly loved ones. We're just outside of Chicago at my parents' house, where we're gonna make some changes to make the house more accessible, get rid of some trip hazards. Mom, you ready for those changes?
Yes, of course.
Okay. In the entryway, a bench like this can make it so that you don't have to bend over to put your shoes on and off. Even better, a long-handled shoehorn like this will make it so that if you have problems with your dexterity or a bad back like me, you don't have to bend over.
The bench also works as storage to keep shoes out of busy walkways.
Floor rugs can bunch up and become a tripping hazard, so they should be removed from the home. But if you're going to keep them, use some rug tape to secure them to the floor.
If there are stairs, install a light nearby to increase visibility, and
consider a catch-all bag like this to haul stuff up and down the stairs. That way, one hand is free to hold onto the railing.
For people with canes, keep an extra on each floor.
Here in the kitchen, keep your most used items at arm's length for easy access.
Avoid using a step stool, which can be dangerous for people with balance issues.
Instead, bring the item to you using a grabber tool. Replace doorknobs with handles like these. If you have trouble with dexterity, it makes it easier to open the doors. With wet surfaces, bathrooms are considered the most dangerous room in the house for slips and falls.
Use a non-slip bath mat in the tub and out of the tub.
A shower bench and a removable shower head can make bathing easier. Trip and fall hazards can happen outside the house as well, which is why walkway lights like this can help with visibility.
They run on solar power and will turn on automatically at night. While some homes may require extensive projects like a ramp, bathroom upgrades, or a stair lift, for our items, we spent about $135 at places like Walmart, Amazon, Home Depot, and Lowe's. And low-cost technology from companies like Amazon and Google can provide additional peace of mind.
Technology has made the biggest difference in recent years, both in aging in place and when you're a family caregiver. For example, maybe your loved ones are concerned about you being alone in your home. They can check in with you, and they can have cameras around the home maybe to observe and make sure you're okay.
Simple steps so we can feel safer in our homes longer.
Okay, Mom, what do you think about all the changes we made?
Oh, I love them. It will make my life easy.
Also, most modern smartwatches from companies including Apple, Google, and Samsung can monitor for medical emergencies and include fall detection, which can alert emergency contacts and services. They can be a great way to keep independence at home or on the go. For CBS Mornings, I'm Usher Qureshi in Chicago.
A lot of great advice there from Usher. All right, ahead, we will talk with actor Jim Parsons about his role in the hit show Titanic. He'll tell us why he was determined to play Rose's mother. We'll be right back. Exactly. Little Motown to kick off Talk of the Table. Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It is time to bring stories that are the talk of the table. Gail, you are up first.
Oh, good. I'm in pole position because yesterday, remember, I was telling you a story I wanted to do about the importance of fathers.
Yes.
And I called for the picture and it wasn't there after I'd picked it out. And I said to John, can I please do this story today? Because it got to me. You know, John Tower always likes it when we show family photos. So I have a family photo of favorite grandson, Luca, and my favorite son-in-law, Virgil. And the reason why I chose this is because Luca's now four. He picks out his own clothes. So he picked out his own clothes, and then he was playing with Virgil. Next thing Kirby knows, he had gone into the bedroom and came out with this outfit. Why?
This one?
Yep.
Okay.
Because he wanted to wear a polo shirt like Daddy. Now, what was so cute is because he had on shorts and a regular Lightning McQueen T-shirt. And it just goes to show you that kids are always paying attention.
They're watching.
Even when you think that they're not paying attention. The fact that at four, he looks at his dad and says, I want to be like him, really, really got to me. I just think that's what you guys do. You're such important role models. And that's why I wanted to show that picture.
And then
isn't that a nice, warm and fuzzy
that.
Picture?
I love that.
And don't tell Kirby I did it for Talk of the Table because I was supposed to ask first.
Oh, boy.
Yep. She did point
the
out.
The person who didn't have the picture was probably trying to save you yesterday from the wrath of Kirby.
Yes, don't tell her. I'll tell her later.
And the thing is,
she's going to say, I hadn't combed his hair yet. But go ahead.
And when they get older, they know what they don't want to dress like,
yes.
Which is like dad. So, you know, my son's 11. He's like, I don't want to wear a collared shirt.
I don't want to look like you.
Yeah.
But at four, they're just enamored with their dads.
They're still enamored. But
yes,
different.
Yes.
All right. Okay. We're moving on
Who's
to something
next?
Completely
different.
Yeah. I'm next.
Okay.
And my talk of the table is a new survey on how Americans feel about artificial intelligence giving us our information. So out of 1,200 Americans polled, 86% said they don't trust AI results, especially when they don't know the source. Three quarters also said they find humans much more helpful. I love that. Thank you so much. AI seems to pop up even when you're not looking for it. And more than half of those polls say all internet interactions include AI. One more number, 92% say they come across AI or bots when using social media. So the reason I like this, that 8 out of 10 Americans don't fully trust AI, it tells us that we still have agency. Right, that we don't take for granted everything that the machine spits at us, that people know they have to go back and check the source for the real information.
Good.
And that is heartening.
And you're seeing
me.
Increasingly people pointing out when something is AI or when something looks like AI, even if it's done for fun. You see a lot of things on Instagram and TikTok.
People now go, that's AI.
That's AI, and I don't want to play with that.
Right, and we're becoming better attuned to it and better able to pick it out.
Yeah,
so we're evolving.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. My talk of the table is a story that made me feel seen. Even when Eva Pilgrim was here, she was like, man, they really do like haze you a lot on this show.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she did.
That people, is not true.
I feel like I defended you this morning
you
also.
You did defend me this morning.
Yes, he did.
People say I'm long-winded. I say I'm detailed when I tell stories. It often takes me a long time to make a point. Thankfully, I'm not the only one. Yesterday, during an executive order signing in the Oval Office, the president was going around the room giving his team time to talk. Well, eventually, he got to Energy Secretary Chris Wright, and this happened.
Okay.
Chris Wright, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So 141 years ago, Albert Einstein, 121 years ago, Albert Einstein published a paper.
Nobody cares.
Good point, good point.
I never go back. And usually they won't catch you. But
published a paper on the photoelectric effect.
Yeah. Yes, Secretary Wright, I feel you. I know what that is like.
I'm literally sweating from that. It's so uncomfortable.
You're not saying you can relate to that.
Secretary Wright, I get you.
But the way he went, nobody cares.
And then he looked around and like everybody, everybody laughs.
Oh, that poor man. You are never treated like
that. Next time you're on the 1 o'clock editorial call, you'll see it live and in person.
Are you working out some issues, dear?
John is telling me.
You're working out some issues? June is Pride Month, as we all know, and the LGBTQ celebration is taken to the Broadway stage. Thank you very much. Perhaps no show is quite as out loud and, how shall we say, proud as Titanic.
What do you say?
Amazing.
The hit musical is a comedic retelling of the story of the Titanic from the perspective and songs of Celine Dion, who insists she was actually on board the doomed ship. Think about that for a second. Award-winning actor, that's Jim Parsons, made his Broadway, made his Broadway musical debut in the show. He plays Rose's mother, a woman determined to see her daughter marry a wealthy man. And we're very happy to say that Jim Parsons is here. Live.
Hello. Welcome. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is the thing, Jim. I went because you were in it. I knew you were coming on, but I honestly didn't know what role you were playing. So when I walked in, I go, where is Jim Parsons? Then you open your mouth and go, that's Jim? That's Jim?
That's me.
So, but you jumped at the chance to play this role.
I did. I saw the offer.
No hesitation.
The only hesitation I had, I hadn't seen the musical when it was off-Broadway. And everybody I knew had, and they loved it. But I didn't realize, so I was like, when it said you have an offer for Titanic, I was like, what role? I'm not going to play Rose. I'm not going to play Jack, you know, with Celine. And it said, you have the offer for Rose's mother, Ruth. And I was like, yes. I literally didn't even read it yet before. Well, I was like, oh, I'm doing it for
why
sure.
Why did you want to do it?
Well, I had many 30 years ago back in Houston played a female in a couple of plays by the playwright Charles Bush. Uh-huh. And I had loved the experience so much. The freedom it offered me, this experience of feeling the woman inside me, uh-huh. or whatever you want to call it. And I had been dying to get back in and see what that would be like now.
Wow.
So you've called it the gayest show you've ever been in.
Hands down.
I mean, how does it feel to be part of something, a show that is so unabashedly loud, out, and proud?
The biggest word I would use to umbrella the whole thing is joyful. Mm. And I don't know if I would have known that going into this experience. There's something that I think if you are, in my case, a homosexual and you're in this really flamboyant show like that, it accesses that and that feels joyful. But I think that whatever you are, I think you come into that theater and that freedom and joy you are getting from the performers, it makes you joyful even though it's not the same reason.
That is such a good way to put it. My nephew's gay and I went with him and I came out of there going, I just love your people. I just love your people. And he goes,
so
yes, Aunt Gail, you're fantastic.
Can you give us a sneak peek, Jim, of Ruth? Oh, not everybody. Just
good question. Good question.
People at home to get them back to Broadway.
She's got some great lines, Jim.
She does have some great ones.
Remember, we're on TV.
I know, especially this hour.
I got one of them the way she talks.
Well, my first line is another gorgeous day to be a rich, skinny monster. Yes. That's one of my cleaner lines that I have. Gail's favorite, we can't say on the air. It's also my favorite, which is shut the up.
And he delivers it with such gusto. Wow. Sometimes the F word is very appropriate in certain situations.
Thank you.
When well delivered, the audience just instantly applaud it. But it's the costume too. You're painted like your lips are pursed.
Yes.
And it got to the point before he even opened his mouth and came out, people were laughing because we knew it was going to be something. Look at that.
We
knew it was going to be something good.
The costume does really cut quite the silhouette. I mean, it's a whole shape. The birds on my head add a good foot to me. And I'm so aware of them.
So Gail has talked about the fans and how much they love this.
Yes.
Speaking of the fans, we had a couple of them help us out with some questions that we want to
for him?
You. Okay.
For Jim. Here's what they want to know. Let's play it.
Hi, Jim Parsons. It's Marla Mandel. I have a question for you. Who is your show crush?
What did she say?
Who is your show crush?
Careful how you
like in my
that.
Show?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God. I love everybody there so much.
Marla asked a question, Jim.
I know. I'm going to go with Frankie Grande.
Oh,
well, okay. So we have one more for you.
Great.
Another fan question.
Okay.
Let's play it.
Oh, God.
Hi, Jim Parsons. It's me, Frankie Grande. And my question for you is, which one of my abs is your favorite?
Since you did just say Frankie is your favorite,
isn't that a good Frankie question?
I am not going to choose between your 8 abs that I can see, Frankie.
Yes.
I mean, you said it when you came back. When did you get an 8-pack?
I did say that.
He is unbelievable.
I did say that. But your cast is so great, too.
It's across the board talent, but across the board, just this love of each other. And some of the most unique group I've ever worked with, and this ability to make room for everybody's uniqueness. You feel that when you're with them. I think you feel it when you watch it.
Well, it's called acting because we still remember Big Bang Theory
really
and Sheldon
do.
Cooper.
Yeah.
We still remember that.
But the audience is the loudest audience I've ever been
in. I had a good audience,
my
too.
Whole life.
I agree. I've never been in a show like this before. Yeah.
and you kill it. He kills
Thank
it. You can see Titanic at the St. James Theater on Broadway. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on CBS One. Say bye, Jim.
Bye. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to Plutophone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. Catch Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic.
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up.
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world.
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.